I want to ask Pastor Derek if he would come up here for just a moment. And if you would. You know, on this thank you banquet, it's a night we give a lot of thanks for things. And I would just like to say, on certainly on behalf of my family, but on behalf of my larger family, really on behalf of the 700 and some churches of the SBC of Virginia, we are very thankful for this church. And I'm thankful for what you continue to do for our family. But tonight, I just come before you, not really on my own behalf, but including myself on behalf of many others. For over 15 years, this church, now all of you are part of it now, have been a part of helping to plant many churches, send many missionaries, strengthen a lot of churches, and encourage a lot of folks. And really, in celebration of the vision statement that God has given you, Pastor Derek, and your leadership team, and that the church family here has embraced, tonight, it's my privilege to make a presentation to you. And I asked Melissa to step up here, too, if she would. You can go ahead and turn around. So I'd like to present these to you. It says, Vision for Parkway Baptist Church, Real People Walking with Christ, Inviting Others, Serving Together to Reach Our Neighbors in the Nations, presented by the SBC of Virginia Appreciation for Your Gospel.
Well, I put these up on chairs because I want you guys to see them. That's really humbling, brother. Thank you, Pastor, for doing that. I'm going to do my best not to just stare at it all night. I'm excited about what God's done. So after we walked through 1 Corinthians back over the summer, and by the way, we memorized 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? All right, we won't call anybody out tonight, but here I'm going to make you this promise. Because Christmas is a season of giving, I'm going to get about $200 worth of $5 bills, and I'm going to put them in my pocket, okay? And I'm going to walk around for the next 6 weeks between now and Christmas. And if you can tell me 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to give you $5, okay? Now, if you can also tell me Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 11, I'll give you $5, okay? So for each passage of Scripture that we've agreed to memorize together, $5. So if I walk up to you and you just say, hey, all right, Philippians chapter 2, I'm just going to pull it out and give it to you. I did not bring the money tonight. But from this point forward, anytime you see me, I promise to have a wad of $5 bills in my pocket. Don't rob me, all right? Don't rob me. But if you can tell me Philippians chapter 2 or 1 Corinthians chapter 13, there you go. So as was our habit at the end of 1 Corinthians, we gathered together as a body of Christ, and we just simply read the entire letter that Paul wrote to that church in Corinth. So now that we have finished the book of Philippians, or the letter to the church at Philippi, that's exactly what we're going to do right now. Okay, we're just going to read Paul's letter to the church at Philippi from beginning to end. It only takes about 10 minutes. If you have a copy of God's Word, you want to follow along with us, we'll be in the ESV, or we'll have it also up on the screen as well. So, Pastor, would you start us?
Yeah. If you want, you can follow along in your copy of God's Word, but the passages of Scripture will be on the screen. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, And so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you, and you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have.
All right, so you say this out loud with me through verse 11, starting in verse 1, okay? Here we go. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you may become blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me.
Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the real circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold me to what we have attained. Brothers, join me in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself.
Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at length, you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Let's pray. God bless the reading and the hearing of your word. Lord, thank you for your word. It is precious. God, there is nothing better, God, than your word on this earth. Lord, may that be true of us and our lives as we dedicate our hearts. We dedicate our minds, God, to the reading and hearing of your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you are in for a treat. Milton Harding is with us tonight and his wife, Deborah. We're so glad to have you guys with us. Milton gives leadership in our state in a variety of different ways, primarily in pastoral support and encouragement. But has given emphasis to prayer in our state as well, and it is a real treat to have you, brother. You were at Centerville Baptist Church for how many years? Long time, yeah. He was a pastor on there for 12 years. He was a chaplain for the Washington Redskins, so I know some of you Cowboy fans may not like that. That's all right, but also a multitude and a variety of other things. And you'll be blessed to hear what God's put on his heart tonight. We're going to sing one song. So I'm going to ask the choir to come up before he does. And as they come, you guys have your thermostats, right? Hopefully you've taken the time to write on there. I know it may be in crayon. That is totally cool, okay? So where these vision statements are, there's two chairs up here. As we sing this song simply says, "We will not be shaken." And it walks through so many classic passages of Scripture that is just put to music as we sing it back to the Lord. I couldn't help but think a little bit about Philippians as we were singing that this morning. So as we worship the Lord together, as we sing this song, take one of those thermostats, if you would, and just one at a time, as the Lord leads, just come and place them on the chairs right here. And after we place them there. We'll dedicate a prayer of gratitude. Well, actually, we'll go ahead and pray now. This is our way of saying, God, we are thankful for who you are, thankful for what you've done, and we're just putting this at the throne of God, really at kind of like your mercy seat for us. And the question really is, are we thermometers or thermostats? Thermometers just simply, they can tell the temperature of the room, but thermostats, when we set the thermostat to gratitude in our life, something happens, something changes, and God uses us to change the environment that we're in. So let me pray for us in this worship. Father, thank you. Lord, as we look forward, God, to next year, Lord, we don't want to even begin to think about what's next without saying thank you. Lord, without being grateful people. Lord, you have blessed us this year. God, you have provided more abundantly than what we could have ever asked or imagined. God, these words aren't just words in Ephesians, God, they're truth. Lord, you've provided salvation, God. You've provided health. God, you've provided healing. Lord, you've provided peace in the midst of sickness. God, you have done more than what we could have asked or imagined. So, God, as we worship you now, Lord, help us to think back, God, in our own personal life, in our church life, and God, how what we're singing is so true, God. We will not be shaken, no matter what the enemy.
Well, good evening, Parkway Baptist Church. Oh, no, you have to do better than that. I know I can't be more excited about being here than you all. Good evening, Parkway Baptist Church. Yeah, let the tacos talk to you right now, but enjoy those, but let me know you're in the house. I cannot begin to tell you how excited I am about being here, the invitation given by your wonderful pastor to be with you tonight and just kind of being and feeling a part of the family. If you kind of get a sense that I might be a tad overdressed, it's really his fault. He gave me every nitty-gritty detail that could possibly happen tonight, except that it was a little laid back. And so, nonetheless, I feel at home. Let me just say, so let me say this real quick. If you have your Bibles with you, and I know you have probably already had church once today, so just prepare to have it again. You have a black pastor with a Bible with some notes, and the sure giveaway, a towel. So, now don't anybody stress out about that. Don't get nervous or anything. I'm a sweater by nature, so I will sweat, and so I will wipe my brow. It doesn't mean that we'll be here until tomorrow. It doesn't really mean that at all. But nonetheless, if you have your Bibles with you, and on this occasion, how stirred my heart is about speaking into the vision that has already been set before you. I also know of your hunger and have learned of your hunger for the Word, and so I am that way as well. I love the Word of God. The Word of God transformed my life. The Word of God transformed my life. Jesus Christ, I have discovered Jesus Christ is real. I'm not talking about Bible stories. I'm talking about a transformed life. And so what you have set before you as God has raised your shepherd up here, at Parkway, what you have set before you is not only just something that the church would like to do, but it is a God vision, bathed in God prayer, carried out by God's people. It's a God vision, bathed in God's prayer, carried out by God's people. And so I want to speak just briefly tonight, and I do say briefly. It's a relative term. It's a relative term. From the Gospel of John, and I'm going to speak to summoned by God. Each of you have been summoned by God. It is your life that you invest, not in the vision, but what God has called us to do. And so I just want us to speak to that and listen to that for just a little while. In John 15, it's right at the tail end of the passage, as Jesus is emphasizing the imperative nature of having a branch-vine relationship. Other than that, if you don't have the branch-vine relationship, you're just going to have a church full of programs and full of things to do. And so the branch-vine relationship causes you to be intimately involved, not only with just what the ministry is, but with one another. And so that's an exciting part for me, because where the Word of God gets into our lives, gets into the very core of our lives, it changes us. It changes us. And we have been set forth by God to be the light and salt of the world. So if it changes us, it's got to change the world. Oh, I got to teach this crowd where the amens go. I didn't know. I thought you had all of this worked out. My goodness. Listen, people, let me just tell you something. I guess I'll have to start here. So when we went to bed last night and we woke up this morning, we were breathing. We were breathing not only breath that was made by man, or not breath that was made by man, but breath that God put in us. That's the only thing that is sustaining us right now. But you have to remember that he came from where he came from. He picked up dirt. Dirt, brothers and sisters, and he blew holiness into some dirt. And it became a living being. So look to your left and look to your right. This is the example of what God did after he breathed into dirt. No, it's okay. Go ahead, look. Because some of you all don't look at each other enough. You don't. You do church, you know, straightforward. But I'm talking about getting it on you. Yeah, and so the very breath that you're drawing right now, listen, it's holy breath. So it's very hard to be in the house of the Lord and not be just brutally excited about it. It is. It's hard to be, to think that the God of the universe sat you behind some tacos tonight with his breath rolling through you. It's hard to imagine you could be in this place and not sense his presence. Yeah, it's not going to be how wonderful I speak to you tonight. It's going to be how much you sincerely sense the presence of the Holy Spirit right where you are. And the Holy Spirit's presence, God's presence, has a fragrance to it. It comes out of that branch vine relationship. You know, when, excuse me, let me just take a moment real quickly, not for props, but I would be remiss if I did not recognize my lovely wife here, Deborah Harding, who has joined me in tonight's activity. Yes, she's 35 years this woman has, you said, wow, like that's a long time. But brother, that is a long time. Yeah, 35 years she has invested in my life, and I have not always been this wonderful. I haven't, but but because of Christ. And so, sweetheart, I'm glad you're here with me tonight. So when we think about the branch-vine relationship, the branch-vine relationship causes intimacy among brothers and sisters. I don't care how great the vision is, if you don't have the engine prepared to move it, that vision just sits on a wall. Somebody say amen. Yeah. And so where if you're a member in this church, I want you to stand right where you are. But got to be quick, though, because we won't get out of here till tomorrow. Yeah. Look at you. Look around. You're members of this church. Not the building, but this church. Does everybody have a picture of that? Yes. Okay, you may be seated. Okay, so now thank you, sir. I would love to see just the leadership stand up real quick of this church. If you're in a leadership role here at Parker, okay. You all are popping up like this, like y'all don't know your leaders. Or like you're sure you even want to say, hey, yeah, it's me. So I want you all to look around. These are the men that God placed in this place so that the folks that stood, you may be seated, that the folks that stood earlier, you're together as one. And what I love about this man right here, even though he has brought the vision, according to the book of Acts, Paul says that we have to be on God. We have to be God ourselves, but also be on God for the sheep, of which the Holy Spirit made him an overseer. Listen, get this, among. Yeah, he made him an overseer, but he made him among the sheep. Yeah, you hear what I'm saying? I'm going to preach right over here because I think y'all getting it. Yeah, So among the sheep, which means that's a relationship. That's a relationship. Yeah. And so if you're in this church, and I will be back to check to see who's doing what, don't be in this church just taking up the nutrients out of the ground at Parkway. Yeah, don't do that. Don't just wear out all of the gimmies. There's got to be some here you goes too. You know, when you have enough here you goes going on, then the gimmies, they all balance each other out. We can't have the 80-20 principle working in the church. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Anytime that there's a need within the church, we shouldn't have to put out a list for people to sign up. We should already have somewhere to go to. But somebody know I'm talking, I'm telling you the truth. Yeah. So if you have not signed up, and listen, let me tell you why most of you will get this confused in the body of Christ and Christendom. I see that. And I'm going to preach in a little bit from John. Just hang on. I'm just trying to set the stage now so we're on the same accord once I do preach. God is not looking for volunteers. There are no volunteers in the scriptures. I know we ask for volunteers a lot, but it's not biblical. The PTA is looking for volunteers. Boy Scouts looking for volunteers. God's looking for servants. servants. You don't have an option as a servant if you're truly a child of God. Your desire is to serve, listen, not Pastor Derek, but to serve God. He just happens to be here right now holding down the fort till God brings the next shepherd along, whenever he does or if he does. You hear what I'm saying? The work of the church doesn't stop just because you didn't hear what I'm saying. I've been in Christendom a lot. I've been through church splits a lot. I've seen pastors come in and try to take the whole ministry by themselves. Brothers and sisters, it does not work. Yeah, it does not work. And so I think we have enough here in Scripture. It's in all of this. It's the full gospel, if you will, of how God has designed this thing. It's God's plan. It's God's plan. He has commanded us to seek him in prayer, to know what's on his heart. Jesus says in John 8:45, he says, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. It's important to see Jesus in order to know what's on the Father's mind, because Jesus also said, I only speak those things that I see my Father do. Oh, somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so that element of importance, that element of relationship is important. And, you know, I look around this room and I see people here. You all just have the hunger look for about you. Yeah, and that's a good thing. That means you are used to being fed. So that's a good thing. You know what hunger is. I've been in some churches where everybody's pretty happy. Yeah. They burp in the good times. But I'm telling you, it's good to stay in a measure of hunger. Oh, let me tell you about my Lord Jesus. He says in that whole hunger and thirst thing, if you drink the world water, you'll thirst again. But if you get a good dose of this, he says, you'll never thirst again. In other words, you'll never be thirsty. You'll never be left wanting, because it will be filling. So I'm going to give you a little nugget tonight that I'm expecting everybody in this room to be excited about. And not only be excited about it, I'm actually foolish enough to believe that you might live some of this. I'm thinking about 12 men that were charged with turning the whole world upside down in the New Testament. Can you imagine that? Where are we? Winnipeg? What is this whole area here? Mosley. Yes, yeah. Should know that. Yeah. Mosley. You think we could turn Mosley upside down? For the glory of God. I'm foolish enough to believe that. But we just got to have somebody pass the pulpit making it happen. Yeah, we got to go out there in the highways and byways, and we've got to be the light and salt. Light and salt is not optional. Jesus says, you are light and salt. It's not, wait, where do I sign up for the light and salt classes? No, once you're in Christ, you're going to be light and salt. Now, this is the other thing. We're going to know if you're not in Christ, because you won't be light and salt. Now, you won't be. And he says, what good is salt if it's lost its... Yeah, we can't hide the light. I discovered this morning, I had a wonderful time of sharing the gospel this morning and preaching out at your sister church out in Power 10, Old Power 10, also a member of the SBCV. How many of you have ever heard of Old Power 10? Next Sunday, everybody, just get in the bus and go up there and have a great time. Yeah, those brothers and sisters are getting it on out there, I'm telling you. Anyway, I forgot why I mentioned that, but I'll get back to it later. That's not important. Listen, light, yeah, thank you. Yeah, you listen, yeah, I should preach to you, yeah. So I told them this morning, they're in Powhatan, you're in Mosley. Powhatan ought to be lit up. I just believe that. If it's the same God that hung the sun and the moon, if it's the same God that spoke to chains and they just fell off, that God. I don't understand how we can have this power that we read about in the scripture. And my Lord, we can barely say, good morning, brother, when we come to church on Sunday morning. Okay, John 15. This is a good time to preach now. So John chapter 15. In this branch vine relationship is very important, because in verse 5, he says, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you're a child of God, it is important that you be personal. You maintain your branch vine relationship. I guarantee you he'll fulfill his side of it.
Oh, he'll fill you to overflowing. Listen, you're looking at a man right now. There's no reason in the world that my life should be standing before you right now telling you about Jesus Christ. I had already started to date cocaine. I had already started to do a dance with pot. I had already begun to see if I could set the stage with alcohol and the clubbing. Oh, my Lord, I'm getting some serious pious looks in here right now. You'll have no idea what I'm talking about, I can tell. Nonetheless, I'm just giving you a little glimpse of my life. But I also want to give you a little glimpse of what the power of the Lord Jesus Christ can do with a life such as that. And Trent, and me stand here and tell you that Jesus is Lord? Anyway. So, Jesus has already said, apart from him, you can do nothing. Don't think you're going to come to Parkway and just sit on the chair. Pew wanted to come out, but I don't know if that would be accurate. No. If Jesus is in you, he's called the Word of God. According to Hebrews 4:12, it says the Word of God is active and what? It's alive. Yeah, sharper. Sharper than any two-edged sword. So how can that just sit on the pew? So I want you to understand what you're being called to, what you're being drawn to. And tonight we're going to pray about it at the very end if I ever get this thing preached. So in the verse 16, I'm only going to preach from one verse, but I got like 47 verses I'm going to tell you outside of that. John chapter 15. And I'll just throw 12 in just because it seems to be the way we should go. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Verse 12. Just as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Verse 16 is what we'll drill down tonight. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. And as I just point our attention briefly here to verse 16, Jesus has set the template as it should be in every believer's life. Everybody in it has a different calling. We have elbows and we have fingers and we have wrists, we have knees and all of that. All of that's just one body, but we only got one Lord. He says, in one head, he says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. If you're a child of God, do you know how powerful that is, that you were chosen by God? Yeah, so we're not doing God any favors by showing up on Sunday morning and singing in the choir or being a musician or serving. I want to thank God for those men and women who served us tonight. I have a heart for servants. I do. I understand that. God gave me a woman with the gift of hospitality. So I have to be careful about that hospitality thing because you can abuse it. You can take advantage of it. You know how good it is not to have to move and some grapes show up in the middle of your favorite program? Y'all don't know what that's like. It's the gift of hospitality. That's what that is. No. So I thank God for them. Listen, everybody in this room has a gift. There's nobody that's going to sit back and say, well, I don't have anything to do. Or no one has told me or has asked me to do anything. You should be hearing from the voice of the Lord God Almighty himself saying, go and do that. And if you don't know what that is, do something until you find out what that is. Let me say that again. If you don't know what it is that he's called you to do, do something to the glory of God until you hear exactly what that is. I served in my gift before I even knew what it was. I did it for almost 10 years. Well, actually, prior to even coming on staff. And I was just functioning in it. And you know what that gift is? It is to encourage and strengthen the body of Christ, to get from point A to point B. Because I know, listen. I know this works. This is not to be read and studied and say, okay, I got that. No. I know this works. And if you spend any time with it whatsoever, your life will change, the folks' lives around you will change, a community can change. Yeah, this takes households. I grew up in an alcoholic and a workaholic household. Because of Christ coming into my life, I can now establish a household that's set apart unto him. Wouldn't have known it otherwise. It's because of this, the Word of God, His Holy Spirit, working in this room right now. I can hear some people wrestling in the Spirit, in wrestling with this, and that's good. That the word wrestling is a very strong term. Don't even worry with it, because you're not going to win that one. Yeah, you're not going to win that one. Let it go and surrender. In fact, some of you should surrender tonight. He says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. What did you choose us for, Lord? I appointed you. An appointment. Now, of course, the apostles, they were appointed to do and be what their role was going to be in the New Testament church. But he's given you an anointing to do whatever your gift is. That gift comes from the Holy Spirit. Comes from the Holy Spirit. And so you just have to go and do. But before you go and do, make sure you get some word in you so you'll understand why you're going and doing. Oh, that'd be amen stuff right there. Yeah, don't just show up and do stuff for the sake of doing stuff. In fact, if you park cars on Sunday morning, I don't want you to be just out there parking cars. We can get some people from Walmart to park cars. Yeah, I want you to be full of the Word of God, full of the Holy Spirit, so when that car comes up, it has been arrested by the Spirit of God. By the time they get into service, they're ready to say, shout, hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah in here? Yeah, yeah. No, I was just asking if it'd be okay. Yeah, yeah. He said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you. He appointed you. Ooh, to bear fruit. To bear fruit. Now, let me help you with that. It's not about you trying to somebody be a Christian and kind of sort of stand and maybe pop out an orange or pop out a banana. We don't have to bear fruit. All we have to do is carry it. It's the Holy Spirit living within us. That if we walk that walk with Him, it will manifest the fruit of gentleness. Oh, the fruit of patience. Oh, you know that fruit. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fruit of love. No, it'll just come out when you walk with Him like that. It'll just come out. It will spill on you. And this is what happens. People cannot figure it out. Why in the world are they like that? Because they've been with Jesus. It has a fragrance to it. Has an aroma to it. Everywhere you've been has a fragrance and an aroma to it. Even if you haven't been with Jesus, it has a fragrance and an aroma to it. It is my prayer that you'll spend that time with Jesus, because this world is in a place right now where it really needs the smell of Jesus. Yeah, and we're the ones that are called and charged to take it to the world. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm almost done. Not really, but you all like to hear that, so I say it. Amen. Okay, here we go. That you would go and bear fruit, but that you would bear much fruit. Much fruit. Jesus is about to go to the Father. Part of that bearing of fruit and fruit that remains, it has a personal principle to it that as you walk with Him, your life will be transformed. But you know what about this fruit? When we begin to be in the presence of others, especially those who do not know Jesus. And I love this too, because there are only two groups of people, those that know the Lord and those that do not know the Lord. You get to have church every day if you choose to, because if you meet someone who knows the Lord, you can have just a hallelujah moment. If you meet somebody that doesn't know the Lord, you have an opportunity to share Jesus with them. And woe be on you and unto you if you don't. You have no reason to complain about our current political structure if you're not sharing Jesus, because light and salt is the only thing that will change this. You have no reason to complain about our hate groups out there and all of the damage that they're doing in this culture if you're not sharing Jesus, because the world does not know where it's going. We are the light and salt that's supposed to lighten up the way, brighten up the way. Is anybody with me in here? You understand what I'm saying? I don't want you all to be on my side in here tonight. I want you to be on my side out there tomorrow. That's where that's got to happen. Oh. I was supposed to speak and not preach. I'm sorry. I'm out of. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we, and I'm almost done. That you bear fruit that remains. Part of us sharing the gospel means that others will be birthed into the kingdom of God because of the fruit that's being manifested in our own lives. Let me tell you something. And I know at least one person in here that when they get a deal at Kohl's, everybody in the household is going to know about it. Everybody in the household is going to know about it. Guess how much all of this cost me? Oh, there's some people here that know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'll come back there and preach if I need to. Yeah, but the laughter is just like saying amen. Yeah, yeah. It's the same thing with Jesus Christ, only 10 times, a billion times better. If you got the deal, how is it that you cannot and will not tell somebody else? That's how good Jesus is. Now, if he's not that good to you and you don't know that, then you're not going to mention it. If you got taken by the enemy, you don't want to share that. I mean, if Coles overcharged you, well, you probably would complain about it. But I'm talking about that's not the good news you want to share. Take that to the kingdom side of things. If Jesus is real to you, if he's good to you, how do you keep that to yourself? I do not know. There are a lot of other Miltons out there that need to know the Lord. There are a lot of other Derricks out there that need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway. So that, are you all still with me there? Yeah. So that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. And I love that placement of that verse in that moment and in that time, because he's not talking about stuff. How many of you all have enough stuff already? Don't raise your hand. Don't say that, because he's trying to raise my hand for all of us. Anyway, enough. He's saying everything that is related to kingdom work, ask. And it shall be given. You know why? Because that's his heart. That's what he wants done. And according to his word, he says he watches over his word to perform it, to make sure it comes to pass. And so I say to you, I want you all to do this. I hadn't planned to, but I will right now. He chose you. Can you stand right where you are? He chose us. We didn't choose him. We weren't looking for him. He chose us. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, he did this. And he chose us to bear fruit. And in order to go where you all are getting ready to go, excuse me, and please know this, even though I'm not a member here, because I've been here and a part of this and certainly a part of the family of the SBCV, you all are going to take me where you're going. I'm going to be a part of that, even though it might be remote. I'm still going to be a part of it. And now that I've been here tonight, I mean, I'm like the brother in the family now. Yeah, you can't. I don't even care if you don't like me. You, I mean, I'm part of the family. Yeah. So, but I want this moment to be very serious. If we could, do we have some musicians in the house? Can we do this? Because I want to do this all with prayer, and I know it's going to say just some music. It doesn't have to be. I want to do this, and I want to do it in the spirit of the moment, and I want to do it as, man, I want to be as brutally real about this as I can, because this is probably the most important moment you've spent all day, because some of you are going to make a decision tonight. And that's what I want to address. God has chosen you. He's chosen you. He's appointed you. He's given you ministry to do. He's called you to bear fruit. Fruit that lasts. And he says, if you ask anything in his name, we can have that. So I want us to bow our heads, and I want you to be very, very real with the Lord Jesus Christ in this time of prayer. And I don't want you to fight long with the enemy. I know there's going to be some wrestling going on, but get over it, get past it, and be obedient to the Spirit of God. If you're here tonight and you say, I know the vision of this church, I know Pastor Derek's heart, I know where this can be, where this can go and what it can be. But you know what, Pastor Milton? I don't know that my branch vine relationship is right where it needs to be so I can go out and do my part. If that's you, I want you to do, not just raise your hand. I don't want you to raise your hand. I want you to come right down here in front of these chairs, and I want you to spend some time with me because I want us to pray. I want us to just pray. I want you to be bold enough also to say, you know what? He's speaking to me. I know that's me. I want you to slip around your chair, come right up here right now. And you got to do this quickly now. I know the enemy, because he always does this. Oh, don't go up there, because then people are going to know. And they thought you were so spiritual. I don't care about any of that. This is your time. This is your moment. This is how I'm going to do the close of prayer time tonight. If you're here tonight, you say, you know what? I know that I'm not being the light and salt out there that I'm called to be. I want you to come and stand right here with me if you're not afraid. I don't care who you are. You could be a leader. You could be a follower. It doesn't matter. What's important right now is the health of this church, the health of this community, to the glory of God all over this room. I'm not going back to Northern Virginia until Monday. I don't mind standing here. Staying here. It's just that important. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All over this room, you are part of this church. I'll wait just a moment because I know that the enemy is doing a work in you right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is a precious moment before God. I'm going to pray in just a moment, but I certainly want to give you opportunity. This isn't to embarrass anybody, but think about it. Think about it. This is your moment before the Lord Jesus Christ. Just you and him in this building. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This whole area up here, we'll move chairs for you. Don't be afraid to come. Am I compelling you? Yes, I want you to, because this is Parkway Baptist Church and the mission that this church has. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer in just a moment, but I want to give some time because I know in my own heart there should be more of you here. And I don't want it to be pressure on you, but I want it to be real to you. This church will only go as far as the people in it. Ah, the world needs us. Christians need us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just be real with yourself and real with the Lord. This is you and your maker. This is not about who sees who. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All over this room, this is a statement of commitment to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, it's worth the wait to me. It's worth the wait. All over this room, God has spoken to your heart. You need to be more engaged. You need to be more involved. Your gift is needed in the body of Christ, way beyond just Parkway, in the body of Christ. This is your moment. Come, I'm going to pray in just a second. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let God do his work in this place. If you know, hey, I'm all in, Pastor Derek, let's do this. I know I need some work in my own life. In my own life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Right in this place. I don't care if it gets so crowded here. I'm in the back of the, on the other side of that wall. I care less. What's more important is that you get it. Because this is Parkway. This is the body of Christ at Parkway. There's a body of Christ, or was a body of Christ at Ephesus. There was one at Corinth. This is at Parkway. This is my last request. Will it be anybody else that will come just before I pray? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for these people that are here. If you'll extend your arms, your hands toward those folks that have come, I just want to pray. Father God, we do thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you in your power in this moment, Lord, for each life that is represented at this throne, at this stage, Lord, that is offered unto you as a throne. Father God, you know where they are in their hearts, and you know where they are in their walk with you. And Lord, I pray for your anointing to fall down upon them now, Lord, to help them get their hearts in order that they might be liberated to serve you in the way of which you've called them, right here where you have planted. Oh, Father, release them. Set them free from the bondage of their thoughts, from the obstacles that might hinder them from serving you and glorifying your holy name. Father, let your blessings rain down upon them that others might know, Lord, that Jesus is resident in their hearts. Let it be so obvious in this body, Lord. Bless this body because they are here to the glory of God. And we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everyone say, amen.
Thank you, Brother Milton. Weren't you blessed tonight? Man, praise the Lord. So here's our encouragement. We're going to close by singing that hymn that they're playing, It Is Well With My Soul. The world needs to hear that it's well with your soul. the world needs to hear because they're not well. The only way that they'll listen is if we approach them with a heart and a thermostat of gratitude. Amen. For what God has done. So those things that we wrote down, yeah, they'll be an encouragement to our church body. But take that and share it with somebody this week and see if God gives you the opportunity. Brother Milton, what we're doing starting next week, you talk about being summoned, being called. It's amazing. In those verses that you shared, talked about the love of Christ. We spent the summer talking about the love of Christ. We've talked about being a church that's called out, that's summoned. For Christmas, our Christmas series is called The Call of Christmas, that God is summoning those in Christ. So praise be to God for what you did, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray and then let's leave singing this song together. Father, we love you. We bless you. I thank you for the body of Christ at Parkway Baptist Church. God, I thank you so much, Lord, for the legacy and the heritage of faith that we have. I thank you for the miracles that you've done here. Lord, in saving us, God, in providing more than what we could ever ask and imagine, simply by the land we stand on, God, you're a good God and we should be a grateful people. But Lord, help us not to just get fat and happy here, but help us to stay lean as we go and tell. Lord, we love you. We bless you. It is well with our souls. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You guys lead us.